The guests on Love Hurts occasionally use some adult language and go into some more intense subject matter. But that's kind of how real life works anyway. This is Love Hurts. I'm Brian Berlin. Today's guest is Taylor Lindsay Winter. Taylor is a storyteller and programmer living in New York City. Taylor had a quintessential meet-cute happen to her with a guy who ended up living in a completely different country. They stayed in touch and got closer, but then the world was hit with a global pandemic that shifted their dynamic and introduced something new into the equation. Hey, Taylor, how's it going?
Brian, it is going. How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for getting up early on your Saturday to talk to me.
Oh, of course. This was a great excuse. I'm excited. I got my coffee. I'm ready.
Cool. Well, thanks for being on. What did you want to talk about today?
I wanted to tell you the story of like the one and only time I had a meet cute and everything that happened after that.
Were you a person that's like, I am a romantic and like the idea of a meet cute is always something I've thought about?
You know, that's a wonderful question. I feel like I was one of those people that always did think about like, oh, meet cute would be so great, but I would never admit that to anybody.
Yeah. So it's like that thing you're actively sort of like, this is dumb, but if it happened, I wouldn't like say no to this.
Oh, for sure. I was dating for a while at this point. I was like, I was looking. I wasn't, you know, no one wants to look like they're looking. I don't know why. Everyone is looking. We should
unstigmatize
this. But yes. I was so looking. And it was at the point where like, you know, sometimes you'd be on the subway and you see somebody with like a cool tattoo. And I'm like, does that have like a really cool philosophical meaning? Maybe we would have a good conversation. Should I say something? I don't know. And then he'd leave and I'd be like, oh gosh, like, did I do that whole trip in my head?
Yeah. So you're kind of playing that game of like, could this be the start of something like that?
Oh, yeah.
And I've done that too. The reason I asked is like, yeah, I've totally been that person of like, ooh, this could be a good way to.
You get it.
Yeah. Like, I think we also put a lot of stakes into like the stories of how you met somebody, right? Like that's just the natural thing, right? When you've ever said like, oh, I've been dating this person for X number of years. I'm married to this person. I feel like one of the first questions that always comes up is like, how do you meet, right? So there's like so much stakes on that.
Yes. And you don't want to say an app.
Yeah.
Like it's fine if you do. I have friends who make that romantic, but I didn't want to say an app. I wasn't using apps. I was like looking around, right? I was so looking. And what's funny about this is when this happened, when my meet cute occurred, the first thought I had walking away was, oh my gosh, that would be such a great story if this works. I was in a bookstore in New York, in Union Square. I'm walking around and I've got three or four books in my arms and I go to check out. And I do notice there's a guy behind me who is like a tall, dark, handsome stranger, truly. And he's got books he wants to buy. And I'm always like, that's the aesthetic right there, man. But I'm not like staring at him. And I finally get my books and I go outside with my paper bag of books and it's suddenly raining. And I have this backpack on my back and I have like, I'm wearing my sneakers and I have my boots tied to the backpack because I am on a layover. I'm actually like, I'm not living in New York at this point. Like I'm here for 6 hours. I'm on my way to see my family in Colorado. And the guy comes out as well. And he's waiting for the rain to let up. And we're both standing there. And I'm like, because of the nature of my visit to the bookstore and the fact that I'm about to leave, I'm like, I won't say anything. I'm a brave person. I sometimes would. Sometimes I make a little joke and somebody's like, haha. And then we're like, oh, we're talking. Maybe I'll get your number. I'm already thinking way too much about this because this is a perfect stranger. But I'm like, I'm not going to say anything because I don't live here. But then he says something. And he's like, wouldn't it make more sense if you were wearing your boots? And that's when I just started, blah, 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 blah. Like I was not very cool because I had overthought it at this point.
Yes.
And so I couldn't just be like, oh, I just said, well, actually I'm on a layover. And so like, I couldn't be wearing the boots because they're big and chunky. And like when you take them off in security and then like, and, like, so it could be too much. I'm wearing the sneakers and they're tight. But then I bought books and that was also stupid. Look at my books. And what was really cool is that he just went with it. And he was like, I've read that. I haven't read that. That looks good. Look at my books. I was also looking for this particular book by this guy, which was about like this really serious religious topic that I had also wanted to research. And so I was like, oh, that's so cool. I read a book that referenced that book. And we're just being cute and nerdy and talking about books. And the rain lets up and he says, want to grab a bite? And so that's when I was like, okay, well, I did just tell him that I don't live here and he still wants to grab a bite. And so you never know. Let's just not think about how complex this may. Let's just go get some tacos.
Yeah. And I guess it's like, and you said like you have this 6-hour layover. So you're in your mind, you're also like, oh, I probably have X hours that I could realistically be out before I need to like get on, go back to the airport.
Yes. So that's the first thing I told him because he's smart. He was like, so I don't know how much time you have, but like, you know, there's a place nearby. And I was like, I'll be honest, I have about 4 hours. I should probably like leave at 3 because I know how to navigate that airport and I can get there pretty quickly. If you're up for that. And he's just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I said, okay. And we just start walking and we go to this taco place. And I find out that his name is Tom. He works at a famous paper in New York. And like not writing, but doing like other things for them. And he has a family on Long Island and he's just really cool. And he's a musician. And I'm like, oh, of course he's a musician. I find them.
Yeah. It's like, so now you've got this like book nerd and musician. So these like little check marks are like going off in your brain of like, oh, that's pretty good.
Yep. And I'm like, ding, ding, ding. But what was really just so cool about it is that we sat down, we ate, and we're just like, the vibes are awesome. Like he's funny. I'm pretty funny. He's wearing his sunglasses the whole time. And I noticed right away when he took off his sunglasses, he's got like great big, beautiful eyes. And I'm like, oh, wow. And like, and of course I, without thinking, like said it when he took off his, I was like, wow, you have beautiful eyes. And he was just like, thanks. So do you. Like he was really cool. And so this happens, like we're just talking and eating and we like we use up these hours and then he comes with me on the train part way. And when I'm about to go, he goes, I would love to get your number. I was like, well, like, again, I'm thinking I explained, I don't want to stand here and be like, you know, Tom, I had a wonderful time, but really, where could this go?
Yeah, let's be realistic about this.
Yeah. And plus when you're in at this time, I was in my mid 20s. And so when you are in your mid 20s, you still have some, I don't know, there's some magic about,
yeah,
like,
totally.
You never know.
Totally. Yeah.
The rest of your life. So
well, you also, like, again, okay. You kind of like turned your brain off and were just like, I'm just going to enjoy this thing and let it go where it goes. And now it's like, again, hitting this sort of real point. But you're like, great. I'm like, the fun version of me that's not overthinking things, right? Like,
yep. I was such a fun version of myself and I was enjoying it so much that I was just like, we're going to keep going. So what was cute is I said like, well, I have WhatsApp. Do you have WhatsApp? You know, the standard international communication app for people who need Wi-Fi and not like yeah. SMS. And he goes, I can get WhatsApp. And I was like, that's sweet. Here is my number. So I left and the whole time on the plane, I am thinking, did that just happen? Oh my gosh, that would be fun, but I am cool. And I was planning like, how am I going to like, if he texts me, like, what's my first thing going to be? Like, we entered into this, like, you know, long distance correspondence phase, which don't know if you've ever been in one of those,
oh,
but
yes.
Like you're texting. And the way I always describe it is that like, you text someone and then they text you back and then you have to measure the time it took, the length of the message, how much they said, did they ask you a question? And then you sort of balance it with your own equal opposite reaction, if you will.
Yeah, this like, oh, they sent a text that was 3 lines and it was like 10 minutes after I sent my text. So now I'm going to like try to match that in a way.
Yep. And that was what began, although it got off on the wrong foot because I, again, was a little much on accident this time. Like 2 days, no, not even 2 days. The next day, I am ordering a burrito at a little shop in Berlin.
So you're not living in a different part of the U.S. at this point. You're literally living in Europe.
Yeah. And Tom texts me. And somehow my phone in my pocket opens the text and calls him. And so he, first thing he gets from me after a hey is a very long overheard conversation of me trying in German to order a burrito, which is not going well. And then I have to find that about an hour later. And apparently he listened for a good 10 minutes. Like, just
like, what am I going to get out of this mystery call?
Yeah, I think he thought it was funny. Yeah, we got off on a weird foot, but we went from there. And over like about 3 months, we are talking. And the text grew in length. And at some point, he just made this nice little escalation move of sending me a voice note of about like 8 minutes, just being like, hey, I was typing all this out and it was taking a long time. And in fact, what I've been doing is composing my messages to you when I get a spare minute in the Notes app and then pasting it into WhatsApp. And then I just figured I would send you a voice note. And I was like, that's cute. And I started doing that too. So like, this is building. We clearly like, but like, you know, pause. What is happening at the same time as well? Like, this is about a 3 month thing. I am still like single. I am open. I meet people, but I am no longer like venturing out into like super flirty territory, like, hey, stranger, because it feels like I have something.
Yeah. Like if you found yourself in the similar bookstore meet cute scenario, you'd be like, oh, but I got Tom at home. Like this is like back on my phone. And that like is taking up space in your brain where you're like, yep. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And what's weird about that is like, you know, that you aren't in a relationship, but it feels like what you have is a unspoken, tenuous, like commitment, but not really. You would never say that to the other person, right? Like you would never, like if you're texting someone for a really long time and you're long distance, you would never say like, that is my girlfriend. Like, but you would say like, there is something.
Yeah. Yeah. You're just living in this like dating purgatory or whatever, right? Of just like, there's nothing here, but I don't want to stop talking to this person.
Yep. It is exactly dating purgatory. You're, and like, I think there are levels to it too, because there can be a person that you're talking to that, you know, you have established, you have said we are friends. So you're friends, but there's also like this emotional leaning that you're doing on the other person. If you have like a bad day or a funny story or like advice or anecdotes, like who are you going to tell? That person.
Yeah.
And then you can say things like, oh, I went on a date the other day, and that person kind of knows that, like, right, because you're single, haha, but I love that I'm the one you came to talk
about
like it. Yeah,
like, you are sharing your dating story with me, like, that says something, right? Yeah. And are you, like, talking to each other in, like, a romantic way at any time, or is it just, like, the flirtiness that kind of existed from, like, the bookstore meeting and date, like, that is kind of there, but there's not, like...
Yeah.
Deeper that. Discussion. Yeah.
The answer is yes to everything. Yeah. I think I spent a long time like thinking, it was like we'd send messages, they would span, you know, there's a great German phrase of God in the world is just like basically what you say when you talk about everything. Like, yeah, we talk about God in the world.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We were talking about God in the world.
Yeah.
And like everything. And I would read the messages like a couple times and be like, is this just a really intense friendship? Like I was kind of expecting him to come out of nowhere and be like, yeah. And then my girlfriend, you know, I'd be like, but then eventually slowly I stopped expecting that because I'm like, there's no way he spends this much time talking with me and has, you know, somebody else. There's no time. And then it's at the point the phone calls arrived. I was like, all right. This is something, but we never said it. We were not explicitly romantic.
Okay.
We didn't like do any sexy things.
Yeah.
We just talked.
I wasn't even asking. I was just like, there was never like the thing of like, oh, it'd be great if we were in the same city right now. Like, did that stuff kind of come up at times and like.
Yeah. And it would come up, but it would, again, it would just be so ambiguous. It would come up like, I'm going to this really cool show. I think you would love it. It would be so cool if you could come with me. And then it's like.
Yeah.
Oh man, there are two translations I could take from that.
Yes. Yeah.
So it was kind of maddening. And then I dropped out there that like I was going back to New York because I had lived there at one point and there was a wedding.
Okay.
And so this was 3 months after Tom and I had met, and there was a wedding of a very good friend, and it was right in Manhattan. I was going to be there for a week. And so I told him, I was like, I will maybe be out if you want to, you know. And he came back with like, that would be great. I would love to hang out with you. Like, my family's going to be on vacation, so I'm not doing family dinners with them or anything. Like, I'm around. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't anticipate what this was going to be like. I was just like, we're going to hang out. We're going to see what happens.
Like, at the very least, we're hanging out. And then everything from there, I'm just going to let go.
Yep. Long short of it is, yes, we hung out quite a bit. And way more than I thought. I thought we were going to have like one dinner or coffee even. And then be like, well, that was magical the first time around. But now, like, now that my person is a little bit like, I don't know, it blew over. Not so. We met up quite a bit. There was one evening where we went to a bar and then we went to karaoke because he's a wonderful singer, of course, as well. And then we went back to the same bar because we were so drunk. And it was just, and like after that, we met up a few more times too. I even like went to see him on the last day, like of my trip. Like, we met up and had drinks. So at this point, yeah. And, and on this last day, I was, because we were hanging out, now it was romantic. On this last day, I'm thinking, okay, now what? Again!
It's funny, you're like in the exact same place you were after like the bookstore date, but now like the stakes are even higher and you're like, well, now we just like each other more and we've proven that we could be around each other and like each other, but I'm still going back to Germany kind of thing.
We are back in the same position. It with like with escalated emotions.
We care more.
Yes. Stakes are higher because I know you better. I know like all about your family and your job and your music. And on top of that, I felt like there are sometimes these stakes around like what you want in a partner, because I was kind of picky.
Yeah.
I was always open to anything with anybody, but I'm like, I have some standards. You should like, you know, love your family and like want a family someday, perhaps. Yeah. And, you know, like believing in God and having morals, like those are perks, you know, but like also some specifics. I was like, I don't really care what your favorite hobby is or what you do for a living. I just want you to like love your life. And he was checking most of the boxes.
Yeah.
And we were having great discussions about a lot of those things too. So I was kind of going, if this doesn't work, it's such a shame because what a special person. And so when we sat down in the last bar of the last day of my trip, he said, I love spending time with you. This is going so well. And I was like, yeah, me too. What is this?
Yeah, you finally had that moment.
I finally was like, Tom, what are we doing? And I didn't want to just push it to him and be like, you decide. I was kind of like, let's discuss.
Yeah.
What are we doing? And I was kind of hoping that maybe we could come to some sort of exclusive agreement. At the very same time, I was like, I do not think I could go back to Berlin with an exclusive agreement with somebody who I have no idea if we're even going to like make plans right now to see each other again.
Yeah.
So we pretty much had to talk around it before we landed on like, we don't live in the same city. We can't like say this right now. We can't be boyfriend and girlfriend. But, and then there was this tiny little, but if you would like to visit me, Tom, we could continue to explore this non-relationship that we seem to have, whether we like it or not, which we liked it, but, you know, we didn't know what to call it.
Yeah. It was almost like a half pause, like a, if this comes across again, we'll pick it up or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Or as the so bad it's good or so good it's bad movie Garden State called it, like an ellipses.
Yes. Yeah. Well, this also, have you ever seen Like Crazy?
Oh, I don't think so.
It's just like the whole premise is like, this British girl like meets this American guy and they're like last semester of college, and then she has to go back to England and they try to stay together over like 5 years and it's like,
oh, yeah,
devastatingly beautiful, but it's like that. It's like they're just playing this game of when's the next time kind of thing.
Yep. See, these are the kind of movies I was watching when I was like, oh, I hope this happens to me. And I will never say it. But that is what we established. We're kind of like, we're not dating. But then as soon as I went back to Berlin, I was like, we have something. We sure do. Because there's no way now that I'm just going to go out and meet someone in a bookstore and be like, let's strike up a thing because like Tom is there. And sure enough, like we continue to have phone calls. Like when I'm cleaning my apartment, I call him to talk to him. And when he's like at work and not busy, he calls me. Yeah. And I'm going, all right, well, and like, but meanwhile, you know, life is going on. It's not like this is the only thing happening in my life. So I'm not super freaking out. And what made it even better is that Tom said, I really do want to visit you. I'm going to come in October because there's Oktoberfest and he could also go out there to do that. But then he could hang out with me. So it wasn't like I'm coming just to see you. There was pressure. Yeah, the pressure is real. But October didn't work out for his own reasons. And then he said he wanted to come in December, see the Christmas markets and me. And I'm being cool. And I'm like, that's great. And when it doesn't work out, I'm like, no problem. And then finally, a third time, he's like, I'm going to visit in March. And I'm like, that's great. I'll be here. Nothing is happening in March in Germany. So this is about me.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go. And that was March 2020.
Oh, boy.
So he did not make it. And that's when everything started getting crazy for everyone. I think everyone has a story, especially if you're dating, of like what happened. There's a before and after with the pandemic with your love life.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Even if you're married, because all of a sudden you're at home every day with somebody.
Yeah, the whole dynamic changed.
Yep. Everyone's dynamic changed, I think. And ours was no exception because everything happening in the States got really intense and also in Germany, and we were pretty distracted. And unfortunately for Tom, however, in this story, he was the one who left me on red when all these things were happening. Like I had been the last one to reach out, and then everything happened, and then I didn't hear from him. And so suddenly, like, I'm, you know, the emotional stress as well of the pandemic means I want a shoulder to lean on. And Tom is not there.
Yeah, because I was going to say there's a version of that where like the pandemic happening could even bring you closer together because you're both like spending more time. You have more free time to just do nothing kind of thing.
Yep.
And then you're also, you're dealing with the anxieties of living through this time of the world.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're having that thing of like, yeah, I'm not doing well right now and I just want to talk to Tom and Tom's not there.
Tom's not there. And I don't blame him because he has his band. I think there was stuff happening where like, I'm pretty sure they were going to perform and whatnot. Yeah. And that had to be shut down. Also his whole family, extended family, older members of his family lives in New York.
Yeah.
He's got to worry about them. And again, he didn't have a girlfriend to take care of. I was just the person he talked to when he was having lots of time to do so.
Yeah.
So that was the situation. But meanwhile, right before COVID struck, I had met a person who I had not flirted with. He was not my boyfriend. We were not even going on dates. But I think I mentioned, like, as a person who at this time was exploring religious stuff, I was going to a German church.
Okay.
And there was a guy playing the drums one morning in January.
Another music guy.
Another musician. I find them, of course. And so this is like January 2020.
Yeah.
And I talked to him. He was really nice. But I wasn't thinking anything, right? Like he was just a really friendly guy who played the drums and was also a tall, dark, handsome stranger as far as I was concerned. And we had texted just a teeny tiny bit because he wanted to build an app and I'm a programmer. And so he was like, oh, maybe you want to help me with my app. And a lot of people ask me that. And I always put them off. So I'm always like, yeah, maybe not. So March happens. We're all shut down. And this new guy, Mateus, texts me and says, I think this is a great time to work on a project, like we all did, right? When we thought pandemic was going to be 2 weeks, I'm like, let's do a project. And he was like, I think I want to make my app. Do you want to help me? And I tried to put him off with saying, look, I only work with actual designers and I'm going to need like a Trello with everything mapped out and a Figma. Like I'm throwing these words at him. Scare you. And he comes back at me with, I am a designer. Here's my Trello. Here's my Figma. And so I said, I guess I have to do this now because I said I would. So I started helping him with his app. And so here I am. Tom is a little MIA. Mateus is making an app with me, mostly remote. But this is also the part of the pandemic where you have to pick one person to see, and then you don't get to see other people. That was the law in Germany. I'm pretty sure there was something like that in the States.
Yeah, it was like a very similar US thing going on. Yeah.
Right. So who was my person? The one person I was doing a project with. So I started hanging out with this guy and I started to notice something right away because I was trying not to be flirty. It's not like I had like an allegiance or a relationship with somebody else, but I was open because I did recognize I had to tell myself, Tom's not your boyfriend. Like if he hasn't responded, you should not like get out there and attack someone like that, but you should, you know, be open and remember what you're looking for. And don't melt down over this. And so I was like looking at Mateus kind of like, just in case, you know, I already met you in a church. I know you probably
there is that part of you that is like, oh, I am noticing things like back what you said with Tom and like the little checklist, like that checklist is now existing for Mateus in a way where even if it's not like active, there is those little parts of you that it's like, oh, that's a thing. That's interesting.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And like little things that you train like yourself to look for when you're single. Yeah. Like, you know, if someone says, okay, if you're a person who wants kids and someone is suddenly like, oh, I would never have children. You're kind of like, oh, okay.
Okay. Yep. Yeah.
Like,
I'll put that away.
It just kind of filters through and then you can tone it down on your side. Right.
Yeah. And I guess there's less of that. Like you also saying what we were talking about before of like, thinking about like, oh, I'm going to get back home and Tom's going to be there on the phone. Like now Tom isn't there on the phone. So you don't quite have that thing to go back to in a way.
Right. So there was like some emotional space if this is the one person I had agreed to see because we were working on a project together.
Yeah. Now you're kind of put in an extra kind of intimate scenario just based on.
Yes. Like a pressure cooker. It really was like all of a sudden we were in a very, it's like, I've never watched Love is Blind, but it did feel like we were in a pod together and just all of a sudden talking about everything.
Yeah.
And so that's what we were doing. And like little flags, like I was ticking things like, oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice. But the big one that jumped out at me right away is that like this delicate back and forth that Tom and I had established of like not saying too much, not being like, I want to see you. I want to be with you, because we didn't want to scare each other or ourselves. Like that didn't exist. Mateus, I could tell at some point he liked me and he wanted to hang out with me. And then he just said that. And that was brand new for me.
You're not playing this game of like, what do we both want? It's just Mateus is like, hey, this is what I would like. And you're like, oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. It wasn't like this nice teeter totter of who's going to get off first. And I'm not sure. He was just like, I like you. I want to spend time with you. And like, he didn't say that right away.
Yeah.
But he did say things like, I am going to be in this neighborhood to pick up some stuff. And I would really love to chat with you because we had such a great time last time. You want to hang out? And I was like, yeah, okay. Yeah. And like, we would make a plan and he would be there and I would text him and he would respond with a long message if he wanted to say a lot of things to me. He didn't care about like how long my message was. And once or twice he even was cute. And since we were all stuck at home, like rang my door and pretended to be a package, but then showed up and he was like, I just thought I would bring you a coffee because I know you can't go out and get one. And I was in the area and now I'm going to go. Like, see ya. And I was like, oh, thanks. What is this? What is this? And it just, became very clear to me that this was a emotionally well-adjusted person who knew like what he liked and what he didn't like. And he wanted to spend time with me, and then he said so. And that is shockingly simple, but so hard to find.
Yeah, and I guess also he's in the same city as you.
And that was a big plus. Like, yeah. I thought about that later. I'm like, if it had been flipped, if it were like Tom in the same city and Mateus on the other side of the world, like, what would I have done? And I think, it would not have worked for me and Mateus to spend so much time together. But I think I still would have noticed the uncomplicated way he liked me.
Like, yeah, I could talk about that.
Yeah, and I had dated not so many guys, but like of the portion of men that I had dated. Enough guys who weren't able to just say like, I like you. I want to try to do this. I'm having fun and I hope you like me. Like just being really simple about it is like a sign of great emotional maturity, but I think we all get very cagey about it because so many people aren't like that. And we don't know what to do with like a healthy, happy person who just wants to spend more time with you. And I was really like surprised, and it made me really happy, and it made me really comfortable. And so like eventually at some point, like, but meanwhile, there's still this Tom thing.
Yeah. Tom just being like, at some point he could text me back. I don't know.
Yeah. And so like 6 weeks of just like kind of hanging out with Mateus, it's not romantic, but like I can tell. And I'm like, okay, this is happening. Tom has not texted. And so like finally at the same time, two interesting things happen. One is that Mateus says, I really like you and I want to go on dates with you. I don't want to say boyfriend or girlfriend yet because I think we need to gather information about each other, which I'm like, that is so nerdy, but I like it. And I said, yeah, okay, that sounds great. And the other thing was Tom got back to me and he said, hey, oh, sorry, I've been so busy. How are you? How is everything? And I was like, okay, I got to tell him because we were technically friends, but yeah. We knew.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I said, hey, so good to hear from you. And I felt so nervous because all of a sudden I felt like, oh man, like, you know, I have to make a choice. It's not like I'm shaped from one or the other for the rest of my life, but you kind of gotta decide what path you're gonna go down at some point.
Yeah, and kind of where, as you were saying before, like where you're putting your time and energy. Like when you were saying you and Tom first started texting, you're like, oh, we are texting so much, there's no way we would have other people in our lives because of how much time you're dedicating to this, right?
And
you're
yes.
Like, yeah, I can't be like half in with both of these people.
Yep. It's not fair to them. And it's not fair to myself because I really believe like, you know, where you put your time is where your attention will follow. And with that, like your emotions and everything. So the way it ended up happening was I just told Tom like, hey, it's great to hear from you. I really hope you're well. I hope everything's okay. I have started seeing someone, I think. And I just put it out there. And he got back to me right away and was like, that's so great. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I wasn't sure if we were going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And he ended up saying, that's so cool. I hope that's going well. And yeah, we should have a call again sometime. I'm like, okay, maybe we'll actually like talk on the phone about it. And I said, yes, great. When? And that was the last time I heard from Tom. Like he had said, let's talk. I said, let's talk. When? And silence forever.
Wow.
And so like in the wake of that, I thought about it a lot. Like I really did. Like, so I started dating Mateus. Things got really good. And every once in a while I thought about like, did I do that right? Like, I feel bad. Like I wanted to say something like, oh, you know, Tom, I just want you to know you weren't my boyfriend, but it was like, you were important to me and you were really cool. And like, I just wanted to honor your personhood by saying, like, this was important to me, which is kind of weird because it's not anymore because you're gone and you haven't messed back.
But it feels like you did like the Mateus version of dealing with a thing where you were like, hey, this is the situation. This is, I'm letting you know about this.
Yeah.
Where like, you know, for Tom not to just talk to you for 6 weeks and then be like,
hello,
hey, and expect things not to, you know, not that like so much would have changed, but like, you know, I think you handled it as well as you could handle it for the circumstances of things, right? It's like,
yeah. And like in the end, I really had to, like, every time I opened my app to like try to send something, I told myself, like, what if you were on the other side of this and somebody was like, hey, I just wanted you to know you were important to me, even though we're not talking anymore and you don't have to call me. I think I might have appreciated that. But with the more time that went by, the more I was like, no, I actually think I would want someone to let me move on, especially if I hadn't called them.
Yeah, I think you did a good job of sort of leaving the door open enough for him to walk in, and then he just chose not to walk in it. So you're like, okay, great, I'm not going to push the door open anymore. Like, yeah, I don't need to do that, right? Like,
you really don't. And I think a lot of times when we're all out there saying, I look for closure, I'm looking for closure with this thing, what we're really looking for is like validation.
Yeah.
That you were who you thought you were in that relationship. And I decided I didn't need it. Like, I had to, because I wanted to pursue this other healthy, happy, lovely thing that had like just graced my life without wondering about all the other possible roads. And so I never did. And I felt okay about that. And eventually it went really well. Mateus and I got married.
Yeah, I guess that's as good as it could go. You know,
it really is. And we've been married for 2.5 years, and we moved to New York together, and we're both like pursuing our careers. And I never, like, I laid out at night thinking, oh God, thank you. Like, I'm so glad I went for this. Like, not compared to Tom or anyone else.
No. But it's like, I guess it's like you trusted what the situation was, and you didn't, again, like, you didn't overthink it, and you just said, like, hey, this is the thing that I like, and I'm going to see where this goes. And it went to the best place.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing all this, Taylor.
Thank you for asking. It has been fun to talk about.
Of course. If people want to find out more about you or what you do, can they, like, follow you on the internet anywhere?
They can. I mean, on Instagram, my name is Not My Breakfast, because that was a very early Instagram account name that was cool. And I'm creating a website with my name that's just going to be taylorlindsaywinter.com. Building it myself, because I'm a programmer and I didn't want to pay for it. And I'm going to post my moth stories there and some of my other published stuff. And I'm reworking it right now, but that's where I am.
Awesome. Well, thanks again so much for sharing.
Thank you for creating this lovely space where people can talk about the difficulties and the joys of love. I had so much fun. This is how we love. This is how we fight for something that's right.
Love Hurts is produced, hosted, and edited by Brian Berlin. Theme music by Mickey Hommel. Show art by Caroline Mallon. You can find Love Hurts on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the show, rate and review it on Apple Podcasts, and tell a friend about it. You can find Love Hurts on Twitter and Instagram at LoveHurtsPod, and our website is LoveHurtsPod.com. I'm Brian Berlin, and this is Love Hurts.